Okay, and welcome to September 27th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and one of the reasons why I do this show is because history is important. One of humanity's flaws is trying to get somewhere, not knowing where we came from, and going in circles, repeating mistakes of the past. So yeah, history is important. I assembled this podcast from a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. By the way, if you're looking to move here or if you have any questions about real estate, I'd advise you to check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So yeah, check it out, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. And now let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, and put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Very nice. And so now moving on to today's headlines. The video for Jeremy by Pearl Jam is released. MTV picks it up in heavy rotation and the mass shootings begin in schools. Plus, while Bill Hickok is relieved of duty as sheriff in Hays County, Kansas, the Aqueduct Racetrack opens in Queens, and the Jaws Clapperboard becomes the most expensive clapperboard ever. All right, so now let's do this. 1992, Pearl Jam releases Jeremy. King Jeremy the Wicked definitely spoke in class today, and he backed up his words with his two buddies Smith and Wesson. Pearl Jam frontman Eddie Vedder and bassist Jeff Lament were inspired to write the song based on a couple stories. But the main one is about 15-year-old Jeremy Wade Dell from Richardson, Texas, who was late for his English class on the morning of January 8, 1991. His teacher told him to go to the principal's office because of his tardiness, so Jeremy left and returned with a .357 Magnum and shot himself in front of his teacher and the entire class. After director Mark Pellington filmed the video for the song Jeremy, MTV probably played it more than they played the Red Hot Chili Peppers' Under the Bridge. Rolling Stone magazine and other publications have blamed the band and MTV for harvesting a culture of suicide shootings in schools. Pellington states that the video, about a boy ignored by his father at home and teased by his classmates at school, was totally misunderstood, as the scene at the end of Jeremy putting a gun to his mouth was deleted due to violent restrictions on MTV. As a result, we see a frozen shot of a classroom full of teenagers with shocked look on their faces and blood on their shirts. But the blood depicted was intended to symbolize Jeremy's blood, which was now literally on their hands. Jeremy is considered one of the most controversial videos of all time, but it's hard not to make the case that MTV played it in super-duper heavy rotation for what seemed at least 4 months, just a few years before the Columbine Massacre and the rest of the shootings since. Should Pearl Jam be blamed for the song? As Rolling Stone Mag reported, should we blame the Boomtown Rats for the 1979 Cleveland Elementary School shooting in San Diego just because they don't like Mondays either? Or should MTV take responsibility for showing the video way too much? Or is it a gun control issue? Does it even matter what we think? After all, Barry Lucatus, the 16-year-old boy who shot and killed three people at the Frontier Middle School shooting, blamed both, according to his attorney. If Jeremy had not been edited by MTV, we'd see that it's about a suicide, not a mass murderer. But for those of you who grew up listening to the song, remember, Jeremy was imagining mountaintops with him on top as the dead lay in pools of maroon below. Would history have changed at all if MTV hadn't deleted that scene of Jeremy raising the gun to his mouth? The New Yorker points out, it's not like Jeremy was the first violent song ever to become popular, but Jeremy had rage. Daddy didn't listen, no, to the fact that mommy didn't care. '69, Wild Bill Hickok is relieved of duty as sheriff of Hays City, Kansas. James Butler, otherwise known as Wild Bill Hickok, was born May 27, 1837 in Troy Grove, Illinois. He was a hell of a shooter since he was a young child. Hickok boasted a tall, slim figure who had a heavy hand for dealing with lawlessness. He joined General James Lane's Free State Forces in Kansas, who opposed slavery. Hickok would serve as a Union soldier and spy in the Civil War, and was a very popular scout, marksman, actor, and gambler. But as sheriff, Hickok had a bad reputation for killing people for the sake of enforcing the peace. He shot a soldier who resisted arrest, and then some drunk dudes at John Bitter's Beer Saloon, who were acting like they were in the Old West or something. They were creating havoc in the saloon. The Hays City people didn't agree that the ends justified the means with Hickok's rule and voted him out. 1894, the Big A opens up in Queens. The Aqueduct Racetrack was New York City's only thoroughfare racetrack, occupying 21 acres through South Ozone Park, just 8 miles away from Belmont Park. It's right next to the JFK Airport. The Big A was home to some of the world's best horse races, and it went through many changes in its day. These days, in addition to the track, it boasts a multi-level 415,000 square foot casino. Check it out. 2016, Jaws Clapperboard becomes the most expensive clapperboard ever. Now, for those of you who don't know what a clapperboard is, and I was one of those up until a few minutes ago, it's the wooden board with the production name and the director written in chalk that gets snapped right in front of the director to start the filming of the scene. Whatever the scene is. In this case, for example, when Brody blows Jaws to smithereens at the end of the film. In the 1990s, the wooden clapperboard started getting replaced with the digital ones, which are used to this day. The clapperboard for Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, sold for £27,000, or around $35,000. What was cool about the Jaws clapper board was that instead of the clapper stick being straight, it's cut to look like sharp teeth. Yes, it's a very scary clapper board. Anyway, it'd be really cool to have in a collection, especially considering that on this day in 2016, the Jaws clapper board sold for $109,000. Chomp! And so that's going to wrap it up, my friends, for September 28th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Take a look at the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. What about that video from Jeremy? Would history have turned out differently if that video had not been edited? I know many of you people think that guns are the problem and not the video. But when it comes to school shootings, I blame the copycats. Because like I said, history repeats itself. There's other reasons for the shootings too, not just the video, of course. And the debate goes on. Did the movie Jaws ever freak you out when you were a kid? Or any other time in your life? What about Wild Bill Hickok? Did he take things too far? Or was he just trying to make a point about lawlessness in the Old West? So yeah, let me know what you think on the comment board. Also check out some of the multiple choice quizzes while you're on there. And be sure to check out tomorrow's ep. I'll talk about the Battle of Yorktown, the first American gas engine, and dogs of the White House. So don't miss that. So until tomorrow, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. See you then.